Over 23 years ago, Noel Gallagher released what has to become one of the most iconic rock anthems in modern times. Released on the album What's the Story, Morning Glory, I believe their best album. Don't Look Back in Anger became an instant hit, not only with the Oasis fans, but with fans across the world. Critically acclaimed, commercially successful, it's touched the hearts of millions of people. It seems to have captured something of what was going on in culture at that time. But in 2017, it took on a completely new meaning as the people of Manchester, when they gathered to keep vigil after the Manchester Arena shootings, began to sing the chorus of Don't Look Back in Anger, just spontaneously. It's captured on video. It's very emotional and powerful. And it became an anthem of willful defiance as wounded hearts determined that hateful actions of the few in the past weren't going to affect the actions of the many into the future. And there's a wonderful radio interview with Noel Gallagher that happened around about that time, and he was talking really emotionally, well, as emotionally as Noel Gallagher gets anyway, about the song, you know, and he said, this song is going to be more important than I'll ever be, suggesting that if he hadn't written it, Bono probably would have, you know. It's one of those, he said, you know, it just wasn't my song. It's the first time I've ever heard Noel Gallagher get close to God, you know. It was that sense of something other than himself actually gave him that song. And I think that he recognized in that moment that something else was at work. And I believe in that moment, you know, the people of Manchester and those that stood with them demonstrated an incredible power, the power of free will that God gives us, the power that to resist evil and to choose good. The freedom to choose how we react in any given circumstance is ours. It's absolutely ours. Without getting into the technical intricacies of philosophical arguments of moral responsibility and self-determinism, I believe that the power of choice exists for each one of us. It's a powerful, but there are powerful and significant influences that determine the choices that we can take. But it was this song that came to mind when I was starting to pray and think about speaking today. It was just this, don't look back in anger. Don't look back. And that phrase kept coming to me. And it is, you know, as we're preparing today, we're standing on the cusp of a brand new year. And some people love this time. Some people hate this time. You know, it really, I suppose, depends on your perspective. And whether or not you really enjoy change, that's another conversation completely, but it's a natural sort of space for us to pause and to reflect, as we have been, you know, on the year that has passed and ultimately what potentially lies ahead. And for some, 2019, to quote Frank Sinatra, was a very good year. For others, the probably the total opposite is true. I don't know where you sit, but it was interesting listening to the Queen at Christmas, and I have to say, I think she's after Billy Graham's job. Don't you? I think each year she's becoming much more evangelical. And I love it. I think it's amazing. I was blown away by her again. So, and nothing to do with the fact that I've been watching The Crown as well. So, isn't it? Become a royalist. What's happened? But it was clear from her, you know, this focus on reconciliation that she was reflecting on, you know, in terms of the nation that she loves and serves, has given her life for, you know, is needing after a year of intense disagreement and dislocation. And she was encouraging us not to look back in anger, I think, you know. But if not looking back in anger, what do we do? How do we look forward? That's the question that comes from that. What can displace or replace anger, disappointment, bitterness, frustration? I'm sure there are things that you would have loved to have done this year that you've not accomplished. And there are probably regrets that you have, things that you've done that you know you shouldn't have done. How do we leave those things behind? What can displace all of that frustration and enable us to move forward, to provide us with a solid foundation and maybe even a springboard to launch us into a new year? Paul, writing in Philippians chapter 3, encourages God's people to forget what's behind and reach out for the things that are in front. But who knows that the stronger your foundation, the further you can reach. I'm not going to attempt that one. But if my feet were absolutely rooted, I could probably get so far. Gravity would take over. I'd probably break my legs. But you know what I'm saying? You know, when our foundation is, we can reach further. If you're on a ladder painting, you know what I mean. You know, you can't really reach too far. But when you're secured, your reach is further. And as much can be said about the characteristics of our foundation, but I've been led to think about one particular aspect of the foundation that we're to have today. And we're going to do that by looking at the story of Jesus and the 10 lepers in Luke 17. So if you've got your Bibles, you want to turn to that, please do. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through to 19. It'll be up on the screen as well. Let's just read it through together. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." As I said, we could have considered different characteristics, but today we're going to think about gratitude. We're going to think about gratitude, thanks, thankfulness, thanksgiving, thanksworthy, however you want to term it. A few weeks ago, our car wouldn't start. Got in and it wouldn't go. Had to go into the garage. And I thought it was the battery, but it wasn't the battery, it was the starting motor. And I took it into our friends at Lavenock Service, because we needed to get it done really quickly. And they said, yeah, I'm sure we've got a part. And he looked at the car and he said, "Right, we probably used something in our, you know, our storeroom where we've got old parts, you know." And so they went up there and he said, "Yeah, we think we've got the right one, we'll fit it tomorrow." Anyway, we got a phone call then the day after and said, actually, it wasn't the right part. So we sent off for the right part, but it'll be tomorrow. So tomorrow came, and then they said, actually, we found out now that Vauxhall used 3 different engines in your type of car. Two different engines. He said, we ordered the wrong one. The part numbers are the same, and he said, we'll order it, you know, tomorrow, and it'll, you know. Anyway, the day after came, and then we said, the particular engine that you've got, they also did 2 types of that engine. And so it went on and on and on. Eventually, they found the right part, they fitted it, and we got it. But it just started me thinking, actually, about the starting motor. You know, I think gratitude is like the starting motor for our spiritual engine. You know, that actually, its significance can sometimes be overlooked, but without it, we just can't seem to get going. I think it's really, really key. And the more that I've looked at it, the more significant, you know, this whole area of thanksgiving and gratitude is so important. And I literally could stand here, you know, all morning and just quote verse after verse after verse where it says, with thanksgiving. You know, it's so, so important. Psalm 100 encourages us, as we've heard this morning, enter his gates with thanksgiving and with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. There's a primacy associated with gratitude in Scripture. And I could be here all morning talking about it. But there is a need there. There is a command. There is a joy in thanksgiving. There is an importance in thanksgiving. There's a desire. There's a benefit of cultivating an attitude of gratitude, as our American friends would. Attitude of gratitude. You know, got it out of my system. With regard to our relationship with God, you know. But also Ephesians chapter 5:20, it suggests that we've got to give it in everything. Thanksgiving in everything. And it's primarily what we read and we learn about this encounter between Jesus and the lepers in this Luke chapter. How many people read through Luke through Christmas, enjoyed that? Yeah, I thought it was great. Carry on. Go into John. and I want to predominantly focus this morning on the one that came back, the leper that returned to Jesus, who allowed his gratitude to influence his actions. Because that's what we want to see, isn't it? That's what I want to see in my life. How can gratitude help influence the choices that I continue to make, that we continue to make? And there are just three observations I want to make about the encounter, which hopefully will help us kickstart 2020 and establish a really great foundation from which to launch into the new year. The first thing that I observed anyway is that gratitude fuels worship. Gratitude fuels worship. When this leper, who en route to the priests, realizes that he's been cured, he looks at himself and he's whole again. Gratitude in his heart draws him immediately back towards Jesus with an explosion of praise and worship. It says he praised God with a loud voice. The Greek words used here are mega and phone. Megaphone. There was a broadcast of God's glory to everyone around. It was completely unrestrained. But it was focused at Jesus. Gave thanks to God with all of his might. Focused directly on God. This wasn't about a feeling. It wasn't about feeling love. It wasn't about feeling joy or feeling happy. This was about thankfulness. Gratitude for receiving a gift. And the gratitude and the expression was directly given back to the giver. And I think this is why thanksgiving and gratitude is so important, because it's not an emotion that is determined from within. I think gratitude, I mean, it can make us feel, when people do things for us, we can feel happy, obviously. But gratitude is more than that. It is an attitude. It's just a shame that it rhymes with gratitude. But it is something, and it is a response to what has been done for us. It's an external influence, generally something that we've been unable to do for ourselves. And here's the flip side of that, though. Have you ever tried to worship God without gratitude? Have you ever tried it? I remember going away once at church weekend. I think we went to Honiton in Devon. And it was a beautiful place. And it was a great weekend. But we had a lovely, lovely room, but we had three boys who just would not settle. They just would not settle. And it was horrendous. We did the most horrendous time trying to get them off to sleep, trying to get them to stop crying, whatever it was. You remember? Yeah. We try to forget it. You know, it's one of those weekends that you just sort of, oh, Lord, did that really happen? You know, put it out of my mind. And I just remember one of the gatherings, just standing there. Everybody was just, you know, lost in wonder, love, and praise. And I just felt like, why am I here? I was dead. So it was just completely dead, you know. But I was completely blinded, you know. In that moment, you know, there was no gratitude existing within me at that particular moment, I can tell you. But I was completely blinded to the joy that we had three perfectly healthy, natural boys who were doing what babies do. But I was blinded by my frustration, my anger, my resentment, my jealousy, you know, everybody else having a great time. And I began to let that contaminate my heart in the previous 16 hours. My focus was on what everyone else seemed to have, and I didn't. And actually, it just made being in worship, it just made it worse. You know, just made it completely worse. How easy is it for us to lose sight of what God has done for us, is doing for us, will do for us, according to his word. It is like pouring a bucket of water on a fire. The fire will just go out when we lose sight of what God is doing. Conversely, recalling to mind the goodness of God, his blessings, his provision, his promises. It's like adding a nice kiln-baked piece of wood onto your fire, you know. The moment it touches down, it's into flame. It fuels the passion and desire to worship God more. And that's why God established the commands in his word with the children of Israel. He commanded them to remember. Remember, remember. You see it all the way through the festivals, the worship in the temple, the monuments of stones that they set up from, you know, in different places. It was also that they would remember the stories that they were told to pass on to their children. Remind them, tell them, remember, remember. Why? Because we so easily forget. We so easily become distracted. Thank God in these days for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. I love Holy Spirit. I love Holy Spirit because he is the one who draws alongside us, that comes to us, that reminds us about the promises. Jesus said he will come. He's going to be there. He's going to help you. He's going to remind you of the things that I've said to you. He will tell you the words. He will lead you into truth. And what will the truth do? It will set you free. And those who have been set free by the Son are free indeed. We need that truth that continues to liberate us. Otherwise, we're pulled back, weighed down. And I've learnt on these days, in the difficult days, when I become distracted by anxiety or fear or doubt, this is the most powerful prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. His presence changes everything. Atmosphere changes. The way that I think begins to change because he's with me. And he begins to whisper the truth. Releases me from fear. Shows me what I think is a giant in front of me and shows me how big that giant really is in relation to him. And there, anxious thoughts begin to disappear and faith arises. I pray this year for you would be like an unbroken song of praise to God as you cultivate gratitude in your heart. So gratitude fuels worship, but gratitude also positions us for prayer. The leper, in realizing that he had been healed, took himself back into the presence of Jesus and flung himself at his feet. He consciously sought out the presence of the healer. He prioritized it in that moment. The other nine were off to the priest. I mean, I don't want to speculate about, you know, their family lives, or, you know, one leper's life over the other nine, whether they had family to get back to or not, but or whether he was anxious to get to the priest. But one thing seems sure, though, is that that moment in the presence of Jesus altered his heart, changed him. So much so that instead of thinking about himself, he just wanted to go back. That moment, it left him hungry for more. Listen to the psalmist. God, your wraparound presence is our defense. In your kindness, look upon the faces of your anointed ones. For just one day of intimacy with you is like 1,000 days of joy rolled into one. I'd rather stand at the threshold in front of the gate beautiful, ready to go in and worship my God, than to live my life without you in the most beautiful palace of the wicked. For the Lord God is brighter than the brilliance of a sunrise, wrapping himself around me like a shield. He is so generous with his gifts of grace and glory. Those who walk along his paths with integrity will never lack one thing they need, for he provides it all. O Lord of heaven's armies, what euphoria fills those who forever trust in you. Amen. I don't know about you, but the older I'm getting, the more I long for his presence. The more I want to be in his presence. As a result, I'm less content to spend time on things that draw me away from it or do not lead me into that place of communion of God. Now, I don't want to sound pious in that, but I know what's within me. I don't always do it, but I know that the urge, the desire, I don't want to waste time. I don't want to waste time. I want to be where he is at. You know what it's like? I mean, you spent time, hopefully over Christmas, with people that you love, your friends, family. With people that you can be real with, you know, who accept who you are, who love you as you are. Want the best for you. You know, and it's just wonderful, isn't it, when you spend time together, you know, telling stories, making fun of each other, you know, eating together, laughing, lots of laughing. Lots of laughing. You just don't want to be anywhere else, do you? You just don't want to be anywhere else. I long for those moments with him. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that he wants to be with me. It amazes me. It does amaze me. At times in my life, I've got bored of myself. No comments. I'm so grateful for those moments of intimacy with him where I become aware of who he is, and for some, in some way, I become more aware of who I am. I'm so grateful for those times when he has spoken specifically into my situation, and he's brought hope out of that, and he's put faith into my soul, and I'm able to rise above the situation that I'm dealing with and be able to see. I'm grateful that when I'm ministering with people that he's there alongside me, and all of a sudden he'll give me a word of understanding, of knowledge and wisdom to speak to somebody that unlocks them, you know, and leads them into his presence. I get to share that with them. I love that. I absolutely love it. I love it when he does miraculous things. He heals delivery drivers. I love it. I love it. I want more of that. I want to go back there. I want to keep going back there. It's his presence. That's what prayer is. That's what prayer is. Gratitude leads us back to that place. And Jesus' disciples knew this. When he said some difficult things, there were points where he said stuff that just blew people's minds. They just didn't get it at all. And I'm sure maybe the disciples didn't really understand what he said. And there were points when people left, and then he said to his disciples, "Yeah, you know, are you going to go as well? Do you want to leave as well?" And they just said, "Who are we going to go to? Who will we go to? To whom will we go? You've got the words of eternal life. And we've come to know that you are the Holy One of God." I don't know about you, but I felt something of that in the Queen's speech when she started speaking about Jesus. I'm grateful he's interested in me. I'm grateful he loves me and he wants to spend time with me. I'm so thankful for that wisdom. I'm grateful for the way that he listens to my heart. And there isn't anything that I couldn't say to him. I'm grateful that when I mess up, he helps me and he helps me find restoration. Who else am I going to go to? Who else am I going to go to? I recognize who he is and I'm learning who I am every day. And with every encounter in his presence, I'm changing and I'm learning. I'm grateful for the life of prayer that he offers. Why wouldn't we want to take him up on it? My prayer is that your prayer life, your day-to-day encounter with him would grow richer and deeper as you move on into this year. Let gratitude, when you recall to mind his goodness to you over the past, when you recall to mind the promises that he's written down plainly in Scripture for you, remind yourself of them. Meditate on them. Do it. It will fuel your gratitude, and your gratitude will lead you back into that place of encounter. Gratitude positions us for prayer. It fuels worship. But gratitude is also a key to wholeness. 10 lepers' sicknesses were cured that day, but only one was made whole. The Greek words that were used in this text make a very clear distinction. All the lepers were katharizo. They were cured. Verse 14 says that. But at the end, in verse 19, Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." Sozo. Sozo. It's that word that we know. But it means interchangeably across the New Testament, saved, healed, delivered. Saved, healed, delivered. There was a complete work that was done. There was something different about what this leper experienced to the other nine. Yes, he was cured, but there was so much more because he came back. Because of his gratitude. Gratitude was the key to enable him to receive the more that Jesus was offering. It was gratitude that influenced that return. Gratitude that drew him to his knees in worship and praise. In humbling himself before Jesus, he was exalted, not just in that current, cured, but healed, body, soul, and spirit. Gratitude brought him into a place of vulnerability. There was a moment when we met Marius for the second time, when he came to us, the guy that that got healed. And when he turned up on the doorstep a couple of days later, he kind of called me out. He was there, and I just said, "Hi," and immediately he just grabbed hold of me. He just grabbed, it's just like he put my his head, you know, I was probably standing up a little bit off the ground, so he didn't know. But his head was right there, just like a child, you know. And there was a beautiful moment of vulnerability where he, I mean, that was, you know, it was just an embrace, a loving embrace, where he was quite vulnerable, and I was able to hold him back. And there's just this wonderful place where gratitude, it was out of gratitude for what he'd received. And we said, yeah, it was an absolute miracle. He said it was a miracle. But that's what it's like with us and the Lord. When we realize he's done something, gratitude brings us back into that place where we grab hold of him, you know, but we make ourselves vulnerable. But without that vulnerability, we're unable to receive. I mean, we could have just stood away off and said, oh, you know, thank you very much. But there was something about that Kutch, you know, that was a real connection. And that's what the Lord wants to do. That's what he offers for us. And when we come with an attitude of gratitude, then we are saying, you know, actually we're recognizing that there are things, God, that you can only do. There are things that only you're able to influence in our lives. There are things that you are able to change. And when we embrace him in that way, then he is able to do what he needs to do. It positions us to receive from God. That sozo work that God wants to do within each one of us. This work of transformation where he's continually healing us. He's delivering us. He's setting us free. And it comes from the recognition that we need him, that we trust him ultimately. We trust that he will completely and wonderfully meet the need. And this is what Jesus came to do. The cross of Christ bears testimony to that. The extent of his love that drew him to the place of total sacrifice, abandonment of all things for us. But also the resurrection is the symbol for us, for the demonstration of his power to overcome all things. And so we know that we can fully trust in him. Everything that binds us, everything that holds us back, everything that stops us from entering into the fullness of our destiny that God had in mind, that he purposed when he designed us and thought of us before the creation of time. Everything that he's planned comes because of the cross, because of the resurrection. All of it is ours. It's gratitude that takes us back to that place that enables God to be able to continue to do that as we begin this new year. Let us have that in mind. That this year is the best year. Regardless of what you've experienced, this year is going to be the best year. In God, in Christ, it will only ever get better if we continue to walk in him. And I want to say, you know, God is there. When we think, when the things that we experience, society looks on and says, oh, you're having a hard time. God is there. He's right there. It's all good. You know, it says darkness is as light to you. Even when we're in the darkness, it's light to him. It's gratitude and a right understanding of who God is and his character that enables us to say, Lord, where are you in this? This is hard, but where are you? Because I believe that you're here. I believe that you're changing me. What is it that you're gifting to me in this time? Because let me tell you, there's a ton of gifts in the valley. As many as there are on the mountaintop, there are gifts that you can only receive when you're working in the valley. You know what? Well, you know what it feels like to have a nice, I was going to say cold beer. A cold cider on a hot day when you've worked up a thirst and you're suffering in the heat and you have a drink, you know what that tastes? It tastes very different to drinking it in the middle of winter. It's very, very different. Thirst, the presence of of suffering brings out more. And so I want to encourage us as a church, as individuals, as families, let's cultivate gratitude. Let's make it a choice. They're like the people of Manchester. They made a choice. That's what really stuck out to me. It's like in that moment they said, no, we're not going to allow that to affect us. We are going. I mean, yeah, it was the choice of will, but they made that choice. We have the freedom to choose. If the freedom to choose whether or not we're grateful, we just need to remember, call to mind. And the scriptures always say, call to mind the goodness of God, the promises of God. Bring it, recall it, tell the stories amongst us. That's why those testimonies are so important. But into this new year, I encourage you, cultivate gratitude as a launch pad for 2020. And here are four quick steps. Practice thanking God for every circumstance, as I said. Good, bad, everything comes from Him, used by Him to bring about your transformation. Know it, pray it, thank Him for it in every situation. Be grateful for little things. Don't let those things escape you. Be grateful for those little things. For whoever can be trusted with little will also be trusted with much. Luke 16:10, if you're interested. But consider what you possess. This is absolutely key, I think. Consider what you possess rather than what you lack. When you're focusing on things that aren't there, it's too late. You're distracted. It's not to say you can't have those desires for those things, but when we become consumed by those things that aren't there. I think it was Jan, wasn't it, this year, brought us that song, reminded us that song, a song that we used to sing almost every week in the Salvation Army, Count Your Blessings. You know, name them one by one. I encourage you. Do that. I mean, people have said it before, but sit down. Write them down. Write down what you were able to say, thank you, God. And start with, thank you, God, that I'm breathing. That I actually exist. Our existence, the fact that we get to enjoy life, is a gift from God. It's His grace. When you start from there and work up, you'll just keep going. You'll keep going because every second, every moment that we experience is a grace from Him. Consider what you possess. Count your blessings. And do not let pride stand in the way of thanking others. You know, gratitude is something that can be contagious. When you're around people who live in that place, they're continually thankful. They're wonderful people to be with. People who are thankful. They don't complain about anything. You know, and they're so thankful. You see it in them and you just kind of, I want to spend time with that one. Yeah. So be that person. Be that person. Let gratitude flow from you. Give thanks to those around you for you know, it's amazing when, and I've got to be honest, I am the world's worst. I am rubbish at receiving. I've had to really, really work hard at receiving compliments. I've never been able to receive compliments in my life. You know, people come and say, well done, you know, blah, 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 you know, and you're going, I've had to train myself to say, thank you very much, you're very kind. You know, I just can't do it, you know. But conversely, I struggle also to compliment others. And that's something which I've asked the Lord to change in my heart, you know. And to celebrate when you bless people. But also to be able to go up to others and to say, well done, that was amazing, brilliant, well done. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Makes a big difference. So as we come bring this into land, we're going to come to the table. We're going to celebrate together. We're going to remember. We're going to remember His goodness to us. And I just want to encourage you as we do that. I ask the band to come up and take their positions. And what we're going to do is we're going to sing. He's a good father, and we're going to come. And I want you to just spend a little bit of time before you come to the table, and just begin to recall God's goodness this morning. Just remember again the things that you want to be able to say thank you for. To say, Lord, I'm so grateful for this situation or for that situation or for this person or for this provision that you've given. And let's make this morning about a celebration. We're thanking him for every provision, and it's come to us because of Jesus. It's come because of what he's given to us, how we've been accepted into his family through the cross.